born to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Murray Valeriano.
I'm Mike Siegel.
I'm West Anthony.
And today we are here, and that's Frank. Frank's here.
Frank's
he
over
hasn't
there.
Said a word while you fixed your computer for an hour and a half. He knew. He waited for his spot. That's
timing. That's called timing, Murray. I don't know where he gets it from.
Well, the mom, obviously.
Obviously.
The successful parent. Frank Valeriano's here. He's playing, what's he playing?
Minecraft.
Oh, my nephew was into that.
Look, just watch it.
Does he watch the YouTube videos?
No, we only let him play Minecraft. Like, if he reads a certain amount of time, we'll bank those Minecraft hours.
Oh, gotcha.
So, yeah, he has to read for school.
Got the credit.
And then whatever he reads, if he reads an hour the week, then on the weekend he gets to play Minecraft for an hour.
And if he doesn't read, he goes in the hole.
Yeah. He's already in the hole.
All right. So, how many times did I schedule this with you guys? Five? All my fault.
No, I think mine wasn't. I was a fault at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mary was the problem.
All right.
And today, when we finally do it, it's what's the weather like outside, Mike?
It's awful. It's a monsoon.
There was an arc on Ventura.
Yeah. I hydroplaned a little bit.
So did I.
Oh,
it freaked me out a little bit.
We passed each other on the 405 coming up
here. I drove about 35 miles an hour, so I did not hydroplane. How fast
That's
do you drive?
That's the fastest I've ever seen you drive, Pat, by the way.
I know. I drive on the way to Ellen John the other night. Pilar goes, can I ask you something about your driving? I go, sure. She's like, why are you following this guy and you're only driving 52 miles an hour? I go, I feel like it's a safe speed in the rain. She goes, maybe get out around this guy. I go, okay, if you want me to, I will.
That's the nicest argument I've ever
Seriously.
Heard a couple have about
Absolutely.
Driving.
It's pretty much how it was. Because, well,
that's how you stayed together 25 years.
The only way that argument was going to break bad is if I was mad about it.
Right.
See what I mean? The ball was in my court.
Sure.
She said it very nicely. So what was I going to do? Just go, what the fuck? Yeah.
Sorry. Speed up. See? Swear jar.
What the heck?
That's all right. I should put headphones on.
He's
him,
fine.
Huh?
We're going to be good.
That's all right. Mike Siegel flipped us off all the way over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I didn't know he was in the car.
I had to call him. I'm like, so, dude, I got a kid in the car.
Now the kid learned that. When you tell him, hey, that's enough Minecraft, boom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So why are we here today? Oh, let me see.
Because it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
First of all, we have to Mike. Mike Siegel is very happy about this, even though we had a problem 5 minutes ago. We have a brand new computer that we're recording on.
Yes, I'm impressed.
Looks nicer.
Brand new to you.
Brand new to me. The other one was a 2007, so we got 11 good years out of that thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But good for a Mac. Holy.
It's great for a Mac.
Yeah.
This is a 2012, so we should have this for another 7 years. Although I don't know who's going to still be listening to this show in 7 years.
I think I have that same one. 2012, that's about when I bought
mine. Yeah, with
mine.
A missing key?
Yeah, probably.
So we should be, everything should sound great. We had a guy named Ryan come in. I can't pronounce his last name. Canisterno. Mm-hmm. He came in last week and got it all working. And I actually had to just give him a call. He gave me some tech support.
Oh, nice.
I overpaid him because I said, I want to be able to call you.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah.
No, that's totally smart.
I overpaid him an hour. Like he was a certain amount per hour. He was here for an hour and 15 minutes. I go, I'm going to pay you for 2 hours so that I can call you. He's like, okay.
No, that's great.
So today.
And you called him.
Yeah. Don't do a test record or anything before you drag us out here at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
My wife has recorded 2 episodes so far.
We are still, there are still 2 working comedians here who don't go to bed till 3.
2? Now that's a burn and you guys figure it out.
I know. I don't know who you were insulting there.
You guys figure it out. I know there's no more than 2. Yeah. I know there's 2 non-working comedians. Also, you guys figure it out. So we're here today to do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2019. Is it 19?
19.
Yeah,
or,
yes.
Is it 8, or is it considered 18? No, it's 19.
19. It's 19.
2019. This is the year that they're being inducted. So
yep,
I would say 2019 myself.
Yeah, when I looked it up, it said 2019.
West Anthony is joining us because he tweeted and said, oh, I'd love to be involved in that. Which, what am I going to do?
I said, say no.
I know. And I just said, I'll just say, okay.
I said,
I'll go. If you can get to my house, you can do it. And he goes, I'll be there. I was like, damn it.
If you can get to my house.
Turns out he's the one guy on time.
And then I remembered, why does he know how to get to my house? But no, he was very much, he was 15 minutes early to my house, which mm-hmm. was perfect.
That's great.
Because he's a professional.
That's true. He is a professional.
Professional broadcaster.
And I would like to point out he's wearing some excellent Devo garb in, what did you call it?
This is my silent protest, because I voted for Devo a bunch of times.
Sure.
When they were doing the balloting, and it didn't.
How many votes did they get?
Have they been close?
Well, this is like the first time,
right,
as far as I know, that they were nominated. You know, they were eligible starting back in 2003, 2004.
Wow.
I mean, this is the first time that anybody has ever said anything about it. And, yeah, I think they actually came in like seventh or eighth.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the six people who got in. So I was...
So maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe. If it happens again, it would be nice. I still think that they deserve a spot.
They could be in instead of Stevie, because Stevie's already in with Fleetwood Mac.
They could be in over a number of people.
Yeah. Although I will say this
You mean this year?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Yeah.
I would definitely say that.
All right. Well,
there's several artists on this list.
When we get to those artists, then you can say.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I will say this, though. This is the first year where I agree with everybody inducted. Not that I'm not disappointed in other people not being inducted like Devo, but I agree with everybody.
I was thinking that too. I was like, oh yeah, all these people should be in now or eventually.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And I think they covered all the bases on this music wise, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I couldn't find? Are they doing like the song?
No, this is all they're doing this year.
They're not doing that. You remember how they did the song last? They're going to put this song in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I couldn't find
singles.
It. There's no special awards. There's no songs.
Oh, yeah,
there's nothing like that. It's just these seven people or bands or groups. The other thing I want to say really quickly, and I know this won't drop for a while as of this record, although if you're an ASAP club member, you'll hear this. So on Patreon, I cannot give prizes away the way I've been doing it on Patreon, because it's something against, falls under some like gambling rule. Like one of my tiers was like, oh, and if you're a member of this tier, you'll get to win prizes. So we're still giving out prizes. I just changed the verbiage on there, on my tier. And instead of saying that this is a contest this week, I'm just saying, hey, this is the Friday trivia question. Everything else is going to be the same.
So you were basically holding an illegal sweepstakes.
That's what they were, what they were claiming.
Yeah, that's
what eventually shut down Rock Solid.
Exactly.
I certainly want to go to prison for giving away a Joni Mitchell DVD. That's something I want to...
You should.
How dare you give away Foreigner books. So everything's cool. Everything's going to run the same way. So again, $2 tier, you're still going to get a chance to win prizes.
Oh, the $2 tier is the prize tier?
Yeah,
that's the great.
Tier. You can't beat that.
No, that's awesome.
And the other thing is follow West Anthony on Twitter, because West is funny on Twitter. He always gets one like on his tweets.
Thanks. Only on Twitter? Thank you.
It's very funny on Twitter. In person, it's touch and go. Give him your Twitter address right now. I want people to follow you.
Dr. West Anthony.
But
I'm
not really
a doctor.
Not really a doctor.
DR or doctor?
DR.
Okay.
DR.
Yeah. Because West Anthony is, somebody's been sitting on it for a long time now, and I can't get it.
They knew.
I don't know why.
They knew that something's going to blow up.
It's suspended.
Suspended.
Yeah, it's been suspended for years, and I don't even know who to talk to get it.
Maybe that guy was like a murderer or something. You don't maybe change your name.
Maybe he was giving away Joni Mitchell CDs, and they had to shut him down.
They had to shut him down. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go through all seven of the people, or the groups, or the bands. We all have a song. I don't think any of us have the same song. I'm pretty sure we're gonna hear four songs from each of the artists.
Okay.
All right.
Are we going alphabetical?
We're going to go in alphabetical order. I'm going to start with Murray, and we'll go around this way, and then I'll be last. And then I'm going to look up who is getting inducted when it comes to like a band. Like we'll see what members are getting inducted.
Okay.
Let me go there really quick.
So I had fun doing that yesterday. I was on the I was on the phone with Pat, and we were going over who was getting inducted.
Who's getting in?
Who did not make it this year, besides Devo?
Oh my gosh. Well, wasn't Todd Rundgren on the list?
He'll get in now.
Maybe.
Didn't we decide that everybody will get in eventually?
Yeah.
They're running out of people. I mean,
that's
and it's running.
Eventually, we'll get in, and there'll also be
for the music podcast.
Yeah.
And there'll be a pop Funko figure of all this also.
Go ahead. That is the thing I'm starting to wonder about is eventually, are we going to get to a point where there are no artists that we seriously, that we take seriously in terms of putting them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
And also this is based on, I wanted to talk to like David Wilde about it, but I don't know how much he can discuss it.
Divulge, yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of losing its relevance as A, there's not that many rock bands anymore.
Yeah.
And B, it's a bunch of old rock writers in their 60s and 70s, and they're going to start dying out.
David Wadd's not in his 60s or 70s.
Well, a younger generation could take over.
Yes, but I mean, rock
then,
is just...
And then they're just going to start filling up the Hall of Fame with people that we've
never heard of. With Britney Spears. Right, exactly. And then you're going to have to decide, is it going to be more hip-hop in there? Already NWA's in there. Already, the Beastie Boys just got in.
Run DMC,
so it's either going to be... You know, you have to go that way unless they get a separate Hall of Fame, which I think they should have, like in the Bronx.
Well, again, their biggest mistake was great.
They
should have called it the Music Hall of Fame instead of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And it's in Cleveland, and I think it's gonna have a tough time. I mean, do younger people care to go visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I think I tell the story every year we do this, but one of my comic friends was performing in Cleveland, and he was like asking the crowd afterwards, so what's there to do here in Cleveland? Like, meh. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not even the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They didn't even mention the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And plus, you can go to cafes around the country, Hard Rock hotels and stuff, and all the memorabilia is up there, too.
Hard Rock Cafe actually has the largest archive of musical history in the world, and they're on display everywhere around the world.
Crazy. That seems wrong.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think eventually that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is going to be like any old sort of natural history museum.
Yeah, a jazz museum.
The tar pits.
They might bring kids there on field trips, and that's going to be about the end of it.
And after the Foo Fighters get in, I mean, we got Radiohead now. How many rock bands are there? Who do we got?
Well,
Oasis, maybe?
Greta Van
Oasis.
Fleet.
Oasis they're going to let in?
Yeah. Greta Van Fleet might get in someday.
Yeah, I know.
I
don't know.
Can you think of an American rock band?
I don't know.
Kings of Leon ain't going to get in.
No matter how many documentaries they make about themselves.
I don't know. I don't know.
This is the thing that I think about.
The Killers, Weezer. I mean, I don't know.
Weezer might.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I will say this. Bon Jovi.
I'm not a fan either.
He's not a fan either.
That's when I didn't have much respect for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then that was the nail in the coffin.
I've been thinking about this, though. Because you always say... Who did they influence? I'm going to say that they have influenced some of the new pop country artists are influenced by Bon Jovi.
But that explains why they suck so bad.
Plus, here's my other thing. When you go to karaoke and you flip through songs to pick, tons of Bon Jovi songs in there.
So
that's
what?
Not
there's
a good thing.
There's tons of everything in there.
Is it three non-Bon Jovi people against me today?
Yeah, look, I don't hate Bon Jovi, but I mean, there's nothing there for me.
For me, a turning point was kind of, I think it was Linda Ronstadt, who I like, but I don't know.
You mean
man.
When Linda Ronstadt joined Bon Jovi?
Yeah, no, when she got in.
You're the one.
It's
because Pat kept saying I said she shouldn't be in because she didn't write her own music.
No, it's not even about that. One. I didn't think she was that influential. I don't know what the grounds are.
I don't know what their grounds
are. She was popular. She had a couple of hit albums.
That's the other thing. There's no set criteria to get into
this. Yeah. She's an interpreter of other people's words.
Sales don't matter. This is something that we had discussed before the last time I was here. It's like, you know, the Velvet Underground never sold like more than two records in their entire career.
The Ramones never sold any.
Yeah, no. But they're incredibly influential.
Sure, sure.
So, and they're beloved of critics.
I'm putting Janet Jackson this year in that Linda Ronstadt category.
I disagree with Linda Ronstadt.
She writes her own songs though, Janet Jackson.
Okay.
Well, let's stick to The Cure. Let's talk about The Cure.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll never get to Janet Jackson.
I'll offer a defense.
Okay.
Now, for The Cure, and I don't know anything about The Cure. I know a handful of their songs, and I know one member. I know Robert Smith. And apparently 9 guys are getting in.
Yeah, they've had a lot of turnaround.
Yeah.
So here's who's getting in, and I can't say any of these names.
Want me to read it?
Perry Bamonte.
Right.
Yeah.
Jason Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael Dempsey. Simon Gallup. Roger O'Donnell. Robert Smith.
Right.
Poor old Thompson.
Okay, so he is getting in. Okay.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
LOL. Laugh Out Loud, Tolhurst.
Lowell Tolhurst.
And Boris Williams. I said most of those.
Yeah, those are great.
Those aren't too bad. Robert Smith is not a name you think is a rock star name. Hey, Bob Smith is our lead vocalist.
I always get him confused with Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
So
they dressed
very easy to
dress.
Yeah, very, very easy to confuse the two.
So The Cure, how long have those guys been around?
70 40
years.
Late 70s?
40 years. Their first album came out in 1979.
Yep, and it says years active, 76 through the present, which means that's when they
were
formed.
Originally called the Fast Cure. The Easy Cure.
The Easy Cure.
Cure.
Yeah, and they shortened it.
The Cure's a good name.
It is a good name.
It's better to have a short name.
I find that I like most band names that have a the in it. I really do.
Yeah.
The Who.
Sure.
The Cars.
Okay.
The Doors.
I'm not following.
Murray, what is your first song for The Cure?
Oh, by the way, Reeves Gabriel has been their guitar player since 2010, 11 or 12 or something like that.
But I guess they, I don't know how much music they've made since 2010.
Two or three albums.
They haven't done a new album in 10 years.
All right.
They're working on one. Well, at least that's what I heard. Last I heard, Robert Smith said they were working on one to be coming out this year.
Yeah. Right?
Specifically because it's their 40th anniversary.
What was, didn't they do a live one not too long ago? When was it? Like 314? When was that?
Well, I saw them at the Hollywood Bowl about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe three, two or three.
I'm so bummed I missed that show. But that was just a money grab. They weren't promoting anything.
They did like three nights, sold it out. Almost immediately.
Great show.
That's a big, you know what? They sounded great, but I can't think of one band that used the video component worse than
that. Oh, really?
I was in the cheap seats. And when you're in the Hollywood Bowl in the back, need the screen.
You're in the
Raptors. They are tiny.
Yeah.
So they just put like on one side, like put a GoPro on a tripod and put one on the other side. And all we saw was like the keyboardist's knee. There was not one Robert Smith singing the whole time. Not one close up, not in one single shot on his face. Nothing.
Have you seen him?
That's what I'm thinking. In my mind, like,
he
didn't want
you to look at him.
No. Yeah. And then you'd see, I saw Duran Duran like a month later, and they have like a director, they're following everybody around.
Good looking dudes.
Yes. I mean, these guys just like, just throw a camera over there, put it on a tripod.
Video made Duran Duran, so
that's true.
They lean
but
heavily
these
on
guys,
it.
It also killed the radio star.
But for a concert experience, you got to tell them, it's like, look, we can't see you back there. We can't see any of you. So come on, give us a little something.
I've seen The Cure twice. I saw them on Wish. Like 92, 93. Right. That was great. Dinosaur Jr. opened in the Cranes, who I never heard from after. Robert Smith was touting them. Yeah. And then
they'll be in the Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah.
They will be.
Then I saw them at Coachella. And I don't know if you know this, but Coachella is in a desert and it's 115 degrees. And
really?
My favorite thing to do was watch all these Cure fans just cower under their parasols
in black.
Sun and their white face just running off in sweat. It was fantastic.
Are you sure that's white face out in Coachella or is that zinc oxide that they put on their face so they don't get burned?
Well, that's a good defense.
Thank you. What's your first song, Murray?
This is off the album Disintegration. For those of you who want to get into The Cure, I recommend that or Wish. I don't know. Wes might have a different opinion on that. This is the song I picture Kyle and Marissa going to bed to every night.
Okay.
This is Lullaby.
Oh.
Spider-Man comes. Oh, I forgot about this one. Of the blissfully dead, looking for the vintage shimmering bed, searching out fear in the gathering gloom, and suddenly a movement in the corner of the room, and there is nothing I can do, and I realize before
very nice.
I like them. I like the kind of, like, I was going to bring Fascination Street, and that's like 4 minutes of just musical greatness before lyrics come in. I really like this.
That whole album is like that. There's like long stretches of instrumentals, and then suddenly he just starts singing. It's like, ah, I didn't know that was going to happen. I think most people regard Disintegration as their masterpiece.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he does. I was reading about it, and that's kind of infuriating and embarrassing. He was so desperate at that point in his life because he was about to turn 30 and he thought that he hadn't done his masterpiece yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, stop it.
So, and Wes, you brought me that album today. I ripped it into my iTunes.
Yeah.
You brought me that. And what was the other one you brought me?
Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me.
Wait a minute. Are you asking that? Or is
I'm
that
telling you. Oh, right. I'm not asking
that's
you.
That's the album where he buzzed his hair, right?
Is that the one?
I think so.
It's the only way he's going to get kissed.
I'm questioning everything I say because it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock.
No, I just woke up.
I sound like a blues singer.
Well, he got sick of looking out in the audience and seeing people look like him. So he buzzed his hair.
Fair enough. Now, I had to buy that album twice. That one.
Gunpoint?
You know what happened is when back in.
Pick up another copy.
Out in 1987, that was like sort of the earlier days of compact disc. And it was a double album. Mm. And they left one song off because they felt that you know, it would be too taxing for the limitations of the CD. So they left one song off the compact disc. And then when they started remastering and re-releasing their catalog, now the one that we have now, it's got the whole album on it completely. That's close. It's really close to 80 minutes total.
79 what song did they leave minutes off? And 57 seconds.
Do you know offhand?
No, I can't remember which one it is.
Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me. It was the hit.
Yeah, the title track. They just left it off.
What song do you
Well, one of my favorite songs is Charlotte Sometimes. That was just a single, but then they put that on. I thought it was Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me. I'm probably wrong.
No, it's not on that one. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think they put it on the singles out collection.
Yeah,
which is where this one, the one that I picked, came from. It was on one of their albums, but I picked this one because it was their first top 40 single.
Already?
But only in the UK. That's the other thing too. I mean, again, these are, you know, people going in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Cure only ever had like three singles in the top 40 in the United States.
Yeah.
Only three. And only one of them cracked the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess you could say that they were influential. So I guess that's why they're going in. I mean, they had decent sales. But yeah, this is one of my favorite early singles. This is called A Forest.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
It's great. Into
that.
It's so good.
Well, I know that I mean, you guys are much more knowledgeable about this band than I was. I mean, I knew them, of course, but I never did a deep dive. And I can't say I was ever that.
But you went to the show.
I did go to the show, and I was glad I did. And then that's one of those shows, again, that you go there and like, oh, I know this one. Oh, yeah, right. Then I forgot how much of their stuff I knew.
Right.
Basically, because in college, I had a roommate who had the Head on the Door poster.
Oh, okay.
And then he owned everything. And so just from osmosis, okay. I absorbed everybody. It.
Are you still in touch with that gentleman?
Yeah, osmosis.
No, your college
osmosis?
Roommate. Osmosis Jones.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you still in touch with your college roommate?
Yeah, yeah.
Does he still like The Cure?
Absolutely. Right. He still talks about it. And he's very happy about this nomination or induction, I should
say. I bet
he
is.
And talking about the hits. So I realized in doing this, and researching this, how little I owned of theirs, but of course I have this. And this might have been their biggest. This is Pictures of You. And this is how I really kind of, they put them on the map for me.
That's such a great song.
And beautiful, really.
Yeah.
7 minutes long.
Is it?
Yep.
Did you put it on my cue?
This is your cue.
How long has it been playing?
2 minutes and 36 seconds.
My cue was wrong. We didn't get to the chorus, but
so
everybody
good.
Knows I'm it's
sorry.
Beautiful.
So good. I said Robert Smith is such an underrated songwriter.
Oh yeah,
I've said that for
He's
years.
He's a good
man.
Vocalist too.
Yeah, he does what he does.
Yeah,
I like it though.
But I mean,
wouldn't
it
be breaking apart.
He
all
sounds
these pictures
like he's
of
crying
you.
When he's singing.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
And that's why all the girls in high school loved him.
Yeah, and all the depressed guys.
No, they all loved Alice.
Okay, so no.
Just the young girls, right?
Was the young girls?
Was that their biggest hit?
No. In fact, that's the thing I was going to say is that so far, nobody has picked their biggest hit in the United States. I'm waiting to see if Pat.
I thought Pat would pick
I
it.
Might have because I'm only familiar with the hits, but now I'm going to take a deep dive because it's never been a band where I was like, oh, I hate The Cure. It's just I just didn't
sure.
get into them. So now the song I picked, should I even say it or should I just play it and then you guys nod if it's correct?
Correct as far as what?
If it's the biggest hit.
Oh, okay.
No.
This isn't it?
No.
Oh, wow.
But this is one of them, right? This is one of the three?
Yep.
This is a great song also.
Yes.
I'm getting college flashback.
Of your roommate with a hanger on the door and you can't come in.
Sock. Sock, but you drape the sock over.
Okay.
Was this was so that good. One in a John Hughes movie?
Had to have been.
Not that I know.
But it wasn't. And Molly Ringwald dancing to that.
Nah, not that I know of.
No.
So of that,
I'm going to go three hits. I'm going to tell you.
Oh, what they're going to play?
No, what three hits?
As far as the three top. I mean, they had more hits back in the Native England, but here in the States.
Yeah, and in the States, I'm going to say three. This is it. This one.
Yeah.
Pictures of You.
No.
I'm sorry, not Pictures of You. Just Like Heaven.
Just Like Heaven.
Love Song.
Yeah, I almost played that.
And then of course, Friday I'm in Love.
Those are the three. Yeah.
And then this would be four.
No,
that was three.
Oh, this was three.
Yeah.
Just Like Heaven. Sorry.
Yeah. Just Like Heaven actually just barely cracked the top 40. Mm-hmm. Friday I'm in Love was like a top 20 hit. It got to like number 18. Love Song is the most popular single they ever hit. It got as high as number 2.
Really?
That's
I didn't
the one
know that.
That's the one I thought that somebody was going to play because
I almost
that
did.
That was their biggest hit. And Just Like Heaven is actually my favorite Cure song, but I thought somebody else was going to play that.
Sure.
So I just figured I would go with something, you know, earlier because it seems like the earlier stuff doesn't get played as much as it used to.
So you think those big three are the ones that are going to play at the hall?
They'll definitely play Love Song, but I don't know about the rest of them. They might go further back. Right. You never know.
You can't. I don't know.
Pictures of You and Just Like Heaven.
That'd be fantastic.
Boom, boom, boom. And, you're in, you're out.
And by the way, West.
No, you're not. Those are 7-minute songs each.
I know. Well, yeah, you shorten them up.
West, how dare you bring knowledge to the show?
I remember when Friday I'm in Love came out, we were like, did Robert Smith find God?
Yeah.
Like, what happened to
He's
him?
He's in therapy now.
Why is he
found
so
Thorazine.
Happy now?
He found Valium?
I'll send you the Wish album also if you want. It's a good one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to... Okay, so The Cure fills the alternative slot. How would you classify The Cure in this class? What slot do they fill?
Yeah. Do they have a goth slot?
Is there a goth slot? It's mad.
So he's
mad.
Really into goth, so I guess. Yeah, he really wanted Joy Division in this year.
I know.
So we don't know how to classify.
Do they do that? Do they class it like
no,
that?
No, I'm just doing it for us to see if they covered all the bases this year.
Yeah, but I think three of these kind of fall in the alt.
Mm. Yeah,
at least
right.
two,
all
maybe
right.
three.
I would put two in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I would put two in there too. Okay, so now we're going to
Def Leppard fills the Bon Jovi spot.
I'm more for Def Leppard than Bon Jovi.
So am I, but
in the hall.
Yeah.
But to me they're equal. They're of equal importance. They both have two diamond albums. They both are.
They're the British Bon Jovi.
They span the same period of time.
Substitute New Jersey for Sheffield, and then you have.
But one of them is better.
Yeah.
One of them
started it. I feel like Def Leppard really started that. Without Def Leppard, there wouldn't have been that whole hair movement.
Oh, no.
No.
That goes way back to...
It goes way back to even the Sweet.
No,
yeah,
the
Bowie.
Movement of the back. 80s. I mean, I'm not talking about the glam crossover and stuff like that of the 70s. I'm talking about the launching of the 80s.
The new wave of British metal.
Yeah.
The new wave of British heavy metal. Let's see. Let's check. I'm going to check out the discography and see whose album came out first. How about that?
Oh, I'm sure it's Def Leppard.
Oh, it's Def Leppard's album. First album.
March 14th, 1980.
It was that? Oh, I thought it was 79. 8, 78. Yeah.
And then High and Dry was, what, 81, 82 or something like that?
It must have been close.
Yeah, but they're predating Bon Jovi for sure.
Oh, yeah. And
Pyromania.
Pyromania was 83.
83 or 4?
83.
83?
Yeah.
Because it was
Hysteria.
A
hugely long
Pyromania
time.
Was massive.
Yeah, yeah.
They toured like
Hysteria,
3 years on
Hysteria
on
was took 4 years because it was all the nonsense that went on between the first. Yeah. They wanted to get Robert Mutt Lange back in there. Mm-hmm. And at first he said no. And then they tried to work with Jim Steinman producing.
Oh, right. Oh.
And that,
two out of three ain't bad, huh?
That was a disaster. And then they managed to get Mutt Lange back in there, and then there was the whole arm thing with the drummer, and it just, everything went to hell.
Wait, did something happen with the drummer's arm?
I like how Wes dismisses it as the whole arm thing.
The whole arm thing. Well,
I mean, he acts like
it got torn off his body.
And then they reattached it.
You know, the arm thing.
They didn't reattach it.
Yes, they did.
Did they?
And then they got infected, and they had to remove it again.
The arm thing makes it sound like he had a Charlie horse.
Right. Yeah.
Wes sounds like a record executive when they found out.
Hey, babe, it's an arm thing.
Let's talk about this arm thing.
It's an arm thing.
Was that in the movie? I'm trying to
remember.
It's
in the Behind the Music.
Okay.
Remember when the drummer from Def Leppard had tennis elbow?
No, because
oh, boy.
And then he couldn't, play.
I always think about that movie that they made.
Oh, man.
Well, that's a VH1 schlock.
Yeah, it was loony. I wish it was on home video because I would love to watch it again.
With who played Mutt Lange in that?
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yes.
That was
I've said this a thousand times. They can make a dinosaur look real and scare you, but they can't put a fucking wig on somebody in the 70s without it looking ridiculous.
Nope. Swear jar right there.
You already owe $5.
Okay. All right. Here's who's getting in. Oh, Def Leppard predates Bon Jovi by 4 years.
Yes. Sure.
You're right.
There you go.
That's right. You heard me say it. Mm-hmm. Murray's right. Here's who's getting in. Original members, Joe Elliott, Rick Savage.
A couple of rocking pieces.
Rick Allen.
Right.
Steve Clark, Rock and Peace. And Pete Willis, who was their original... rhythm/lead guitar.
He went for like three albums, right?
Yeah, he went for the first three albums. Then we got Phil Collins getting in, and Vivian Campbell's getting in. So virtually everyone who's ever been in Def Leppard is getting in, and I do agree with that because
that makes
sure.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of personnel changes.
No, they only had personnel changes when there was
they died.
Drank himself to death.
Death. And I guarantee when Pete Willis walks on stage, he will look so horrible.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because he's been out of the limelight the whole time.
Pat and I were talking about that yesterday. It's like you can always, because I watched the Twisted Sister documentary again, and Dee Snider looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
JJ French weighs 300 pounds.
Got to keep
you know, the animal weighs.
Stay thin and keep your hair, man.
Yeah, man. You got to stay on camera to keep your good looks.
So, what do you got? What's your first tune from Def Leppard?
My first two from Def was probably the first one I ever remember sneaking down to watch MTV and seeing some. Union Jack shorts on the two-armed drummer at the time.
Yep, two arms at the time.
This is Bringing On the Heartbreak.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
Was that High and Dry?
Yes.
That's High and Dry.
Yeah.
Were you not allowed to watch MTV?
Oh, yeah. My dad was a preacher, so I wasn't allowed to listen to music or watch MTV or anything like that.
We were one of the last...
You weren't allowed to jerk off.
I wasn't allowed to jerk off.
We were one of the last towns in the area.
Do that, though.
We were one of the last towns in the area to get wired for cable.
Oh, wow.
And I remember going to a friend's house who lived in a town over, and the first time seeing it, I think we were just hanging at his house one night, and we sat there and watched for hours.
Oh, yeah.
We're just blown away.
I know.
Just blown away.
It's
and
nuts.
Half the videos were all Rod Stewart and Pat Benatar.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't have it because my dad was such a cheapskate. But we had a local channel. This is like a UHF channel, Channel 22.
Okay.
KY.
Is that here?
Jelly.
KWHY.
Is that here in Southern California?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they had a thing where they just had a block of videos for like 2 hours in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I mean, they knew when kids were going to come home from school.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that was my first exposure to videos was on KY.
It's like Wayne's World.
Yeah, pretty much.
Austin, Texas, I don't know if they still do. I'm sure they do. They have their own kind of MTV that plays local bands, unsigned bands, and then like U2 and Coldplay, and then like just a live band down the street at the bar. So it just runs the whole gamut. It's fantastic.
I remember the first time seeing Much Music in Canada, and that blew me away. It was like, wow, this is you like Canadian artists you never heard of,
right.
And they would have a completely different playlist and a lot of cool stuff though. They were playing a lot more alternative stuff. That MTV was corporate pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty mainstream.
I used to like to watch USA's Night Flight.
Oh, I love Night Flight. Yeah. I love Night Flight,
That's the first time I ever saw Suzanne Vega. That was great. Marlena on the Wall. I was like, what the fuck is this?
That was the first time I ever saw Bambi Meets Godzilla.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They ran that.
They used to show those shorts, and
they can do a short film. They can do a sequel to that.
Bambi Meets Godzilla.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Wes?
They had a short film with Webb Wilder. I remember seeing that there for the first time.
Webb Wilder.
Oh,
oh
man, I remember him.
The Saucer's Reign. It's like this sort of rockabilly type rock musician, and then he's also a private detective, and then there's a conspiracy theory involving flying saucers. I actually have it on like VHS still.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's just nuts. But he's a killer.
We
musician.
Need a night flight, man. We need to. Yeah.
Turn on the web. There's probably a thousand. There's YouTube.
Def Leppard. What do we got, Wes? Okay. I just got to move it along because we have a hard out at 5 to 11.
I had to go with a track from Hysteria because I mean that was the one where they basically just went nuts with success. It's like one of the biggest selling albums of all time.
Yeah.
And this one, just stupid title, great song. Mm-hmm. And it's 30 years on now, and the chord change when they get to the chorus is still one of the most glorious things I've ever heard in my life. It's Armageddon it.
That's the part you like?
Yes.
Mike and I were trying to discuss the time frame here. Yeah, that's why you guys were going to get here at 9, and then we were going to record till about 5 to 11. Then Pilar comes in, and she has to record 2 podcasts.
Oh,
But then we had some snafu, so that's why...
Okay, well, I'm going to blast through this.
All right, then I won't tell the story about shooting pool with Vivian Campbell like I used to.
Go back to any episode that Murray's on and you can probably hear that story. No, I love the chatter. I just want to be able to, I just want to get through that.
I'm going
to
play a hit that, again, another huge MTV hit, and this is when I first really heard of Def Leppard, so this is my favorite song of theirs. This is Photograph.
Oh,
okay.
It's a good song.
It still sounds
classic.
Great.
Yeah. I didn't really, really, like, I liked High and Dry and I liked Pyromania, and then I kind of got out of Def Leppard until like 5 years ago.
A lot of people
started listening to the later stuff.
A lot of people only like the first 3 albums. And they don't like when they went, you know, a little more slick, do you want to say, or a little more overly produced.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah.
But
That whole decade was overly produced.
Sure. Yeah. Good point.
I was working at National Record Mart when Hysteria came out, and we got a cassette of it. Like I'm talking like 6 weeks before it was going to come out.
Yeah.
And I was opening up the stuff that day and I'm like, what is, oh my God, this is a new Def Leppard, right in my pocket.
Nice.
and I listened to it. Like I went home and listened to it. And I was like, this is crazy good. And so, I was listening to that and no one ever knew that I stole that from the store.
Mm.
I went with a deep cut from High and Dry.
Oh,
this is, I don't know if you guys have ever even heard this song. This is called You Got Me Running.
Like that. That goes out to Alexi Lalas.
That goes out to Alexi Lalas.
Is he a Def Leppard fan?
Yeah, we did a Def Leppard episode.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to the show, man.
How did I miss that? Has it come out yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's been on 3 times now. I think we're going to do,
Alexi and I don't get along. That's why I don't.
Okay. I did not know that.
So none of us played Pour Some Sugar on Me, which they're going to absolutely play at the Hall of Fame.
I don't like that song.
Me either. That's just because it's so overplayed.
That, and
just,
it never really kicks in.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that great.
It's just
it's a drunken sing-along.
It's a stripper song.
It is a stripper song.
By the way, One Lump or Two. That's a lyric.
Yeah.
One Lump or Two. So far we're on board. Both of these bands should be getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
And Def Leppard is that covers the rock or metal or whatever category you want to call it.
Okay.
Although I do think Judas Priest should be in before Def Leppard. That's just me.
Hmm.
That's just me.
So we're missing Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, and who will all get in probably.
They have
to. Yeah.
So we're moving on to Janet Jackson. Let me give you the rundown.
Guys, Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
I was wondering.
Let me give you the rundown of who's getting in. Janet Jackson.
Okay. Oh, good. She's been she's been with her a while.
Sure. Yeah.
She's no Jimmy Jam. No Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
I don't think, but you would think they're
in themselves, aren't they?
I think they are.
They might be in as producers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're integral. Is that the word? Did I say it right?
Integral.
That's a tough word for me.
It's the wrong word. Integral.
Now it's another person that
integral.
I didn't know had as many hits as she did. She had a lot.
Mm-hmm. Tons.
Yeah. Yep. We're gonna hear them.
All right.
None of us know deep cuts.
No. I'm bummed Mona from Good Times isn't getting in with her. She rescued her from her abusive parents.
She did raise her.
Yeah.
She raised her.
You would say her first hits.
Come on.
It's early. What do you got? Janet Jackson's Escapade.
That's fun.
That's good stuff.
That's fun.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
By the way, her brother's having a resurgence. I guess there's a documentary out about him right now.
No.
Oh, yeah. Can't keep his records.
Tito?
Flying off the shelves.
Go check that out.
Tito. Yeah, it's Tito. Marlon.
Randy. Mm-hmm. Even worse. We can just keep going. Like you say Tito and that we laugh at that, but then you go Marlon and then Randy. Then
Jackie.
Zeppo.
I always love
Zeppo. I like it.
I love watching the Jackson 5 when Michael's like 6 and Jackie's 28. And he's just like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me?
I did kind of go deep. And well, actually my first pick was Escapade because that's one of my favorites.
Right. But I vetoed it because Murray had it.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Suck it, Wes.
But actually, it's kind of good to go back because this is the thing. This is the title track off of her first album, which nobody listens to.
No.
It did not get a lot of play. It was not very successful. It wasn't until her second album, Control, that's where everything went kablooey.
Yeah.
And she turned into a superstar. And I think that's a large part of why I think she does deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because she co-produced that album with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Yeah.
And all the three of them, they single-handedly created an entire subgenre of R&B music. Mm-hmm. They created new Jack Swing.
She took control. It's true.
I see what you did.
That's why they called it. That's really why she called it that.
But this one, she didn't take any control on it. This one actually was co-produced by Giorgio Moroder. That's one of the reasons why I picked this one.
Interesting.
So this is from her first album. It's the title track. It's called Dream Street. I was by in the situation she can't stand.
Wow, it almost doesn't sound like her.
Love that synth bass.
No, I don't like this at all.
It's a I think we can all thank Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Yeah, you can really
Nightmare on Dream Street.
It's like a quantum leap between this. It's yes. It is pretty pedestrian.
Yes, yeah, it really is.
And then 2 years later, I mean, that's the thing. She really did take control of her sound, and it just exploded.
Yeah, that sounds like a Rebe Jackson song, not a Janet Jackson song.
I didn't realize that album was the birth of a new Jack Swing. Mm.
Yeah, that's it. It all just flew out of there. Okay. And then that sound really just took over R&B music from like through the late 80s into the 90s. And it's not even my favorite sound, really. I mean, I love R&B music, but I love it best from the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. Really, in the 80s, it really started to change. Prince was the one who really first started to change it. And I mean, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis came out of that whole
mini scene. And hip hop changed it. You know, rap changed it.
Yeah. Yeah. It did. It made it a lot more electronic. I feel like there was a lot more soul. There was a lot more funk to it in the 60s and 70s in particular.
I missed an opportunity before playing that, Wes.
Oh.
Hey, you. It's a seagull stinkaroo.
Fair enough.
Mike, you and I had the same one.
Okay.
I really, I don't know a lot about Janet Jackson. I think it's amazing that the youngest sister in this musical family became wildly successful and for a time bigger than the other members. So, I mean, I feel she should get in. It's just not.
And on her own terms.
And on her own terms.
Yeah. I was
without Joe beating her down.
I was torn between this one and Rhythm Nation, which I thought is a pretty good song. But this is my favorite one of hers only because it kind of rocks.
Yeah.
And this is the one I can kind of picture.
Oh, is it Black Cat?
Yeah. This is one I can picture kind of like the Foo Fighters backing her up on this in the live version, you know. But so here's Black Cat. I wonder who inducts her.
Good one.
You know who wanted to duet with her on this song? Lemmy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That would have been great.
He said his record company wouldn't let him.
That's hilarious.
Who plays guitar on that song?
I'm looking it up right now.
I'm trying to find it, too. I think it's someone famous.
Actually, I think it's not somebody famous. I looked it up, and I couldn't remember.
Oh, it's also co-produced by Jelly Bean Johnson.
Benitez?
No, brother. Jelly Bean Johnson's a different Jelly Bean.
How many jelly beans are going to be in music?
I think there's just the two. The Jelly Bean Johnson, Jelly Bean Benitez.
Well, I'm Team Benitez.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I am by default because he had this one album. There was that song, Who Something Who, or whatever it was. It was sung by Elisa Fiorillo. I went to high school with her for a time.
So you think during her performance, Justin Timberlake comes out and pulls her shirt down?
I hope so.
Let's do it.
Since I don't have a Janet Jackson song, I am going to take this opportunity to play a song by her cousin. No, I guess this is her dad, Joe Jackson. This is from his new album.
Oh, no.
Gonna shove it in my face. How should join the human race?
It's from the new Joe Jackson album, Fool.
And why have you not sent me this yet?
Highly, highly recommend it.
Oh, man, this sounds great already.
Like I'm a fashion star, a fool.
It's called Fabulously Absolute.
I get it wrong on the remote. And even wrong when I vote. All for one and one for all and all. And
so
all
good.
And all and all. Tell me what I want.
So good.
Does Joe Jackson get in?
Yes.
I hope so.
Absolutely. He's got to.
It would be nice, but the thing is,
as Murray would say, Bon Jovi got in. Of course he has to.
What about my man, Graham Parker?
Boy, I mean, he should.
Yes. But I don't know if he's even been nominated.
Neither of them have. And that's, I wouldn't mind seeing either of them in, but it's
Graham or Joe, is that who we're talking about?
Either one of them would be fine with me, but I think it's going to be a rocky road if it's going to happen for either.
It's got to be Joe.
Is Elvis Costello in?
Joe before Grant.
Elvis Costello.
He's got to be in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Because that's the thing, out of that angry young man triumvirate, he's the one that everybody remembers.
Right.
It's like, will Nick Lowe get in? I mean, who knows?
He should.
We all wait long enough. Everybody gets in.
Either by producer or artist.
Mm-hmm. At the very least, as a producer.
Yeah.
All right, let's move it.
Now we're moving on to the now this person for me, I can fill this slot better than with a Stevie Nicks. Because here's who I think should be in instead of Stevie Nicks. And Stevie's in with Fleetwood Mac.
Sure, right.
And I do believe Stevie deserves it as a solo artist because she had a great solo career.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wes shrugs.
I'm not sure.
But if I'm gonna take Stevie out of it as the single female artist, I think 100% Pat Benatar should be in.
Yeah, okay. But we've talked about that. Why they
I know,
won't.
But why don't you think she'll be in?
Because didn't we say that because she insists that Neil Giraldo gets in with her?
Well, she probably does.
And I think they're like, no, we don't.
No, it's the albums are Pat
Benatar. You.
It's you. I understand that he had a lot to do with. And he'll enjoy the trophy at the house.
Yeah, he'll speak.
And you can make a plaque and put over the top of the plaque that's on it.
Well, maybe it will be that thing that where it's like they would invite her up and like Janet Jackson, only she is allowed to say anything. And then he'll probably be like, well, how come I don't get to,
you know? Oh, buddy,
I can't help you.
That's what they'll say. That's what the people that run the award will go, oh, buddy, I can't do that.
But yeah, I would put Pat Benatar before her. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, she has a couple of Grammys for rock vocalist, multi-platinum albums. She was gigantic.
Yeah.
And still doing it. But you disagree. Murray disagrees.
I don't really know.
Okay.
Joan Jett is in.
Too tired to argue this.
Joan Jett's in? Yes.
Yeah, Joan Jett's in. If Joan Jett's in, Pat writes the songs.
Yeah, I think I would put Pat above Joan.
Now, this is the song Murray picked. The song is 3 minutes and 46 seconds long. When he sent me his cues, he cued it at 3 minutes and 26 seconds.
Not a fan.
I play it.
So it's a big finish.
I play it and it just goes, and I'm like, wait a minute, that can't be the right cue. I'm typing Murray. All right, Murray, what's
on? So then he writes, are you sure your cues are right? Mm-hmm. Like, now I have to go back and just because one was off by a number. You could have figured out that.
Well,
I meant you didn't
have cues. So I'm like,
that means start from the beginning. Well, Kyle knows my code.
What is it?
This is her duet with
Asshole
number one.
Don Henley.
This is Leather Voice.
I knew it immediately.
I love this song.
It is a great song.
Yeah. I really like his voice on this song.
I like Don Henley's voice.
It really, really adds a lot to this song.
It is a good tune.
So for solo.
Wes, we can't be happy with everybody getting inducted. All right.
Wes, you're not a fan?
No, I like Stevie Nicks. But I think that she deserved it more for being in Fleetwood Mac.
I don't know why you don't like my solo babies. I mean, all my babies are beautiful.
If I had followed her career more closely, maybe I would have a better opinion.
I'll tell you a little bit about my career. I moved out here with Lindsay. I was cleaning houses. He was giving guitar lessons. Mick Fleetwood invited him to join the band. And Lindsay said, only if my girlfriend does. So I brought my babies along. We had hit records. And I never had children. I was never, I was able to, but I just never did. I fucked a lot of guys, but I never had children.
All in the band.
Literally everybody you ever see me associated with, I banged. And you went deep. This is a song.
Here's Rhiannon.
He sent me a song I didn't even know about.
Oh, really? There's no way I'm gonna know about it?
No.
This is a song from a movie that came out like a couple of years ago, and it sank without a trace because it was one of the most critically reviled movies like ever. It was a movie called The Book of Henry. It was a movie by this guy, Colin Trevorrow. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. He's with that guy. He did an indie movie and everybody liked it. And then they just lobbed a Jurassic Park movie at him and it made zillions of dollars.
So then he gets
and then
to do
he
anything.
Did this movie and then he was supposed to do a Star Wars movie and he got shit canned off of that. And this movie, I don't know, might have been why, because it's just a really weird movie with my girlfriend, Naomi Watts. It could happen.
Okay.
But I like this song. It's a very sweet song. It's called Your Hand, I Will Never Let It Go.
A crooked trail I've come across. Who can know what's meant for us? So if I get caught, what's fair is fair.
nice song. Did you buy this entire soundtrack? How did you find this song?
I went because the music was written by Michael Giacchino, who's really one of the best film composers working today. You know, he did like you know, a couple of the Star Trek movies, and he did you know, like he won an Oscar for Up, you know, the Pixar movie.
Yeah,
And then this song happened to be on it. I don't think he had anything to do with the writing of it, though. I think Stevie Nicks just wrote it herself.
Of course,
that song stinks.
You don't like that?
I did not like that at all. Well, it was putting me to sleep,
then
man.
You'll hate the movie because that song is the best thing in it.
Everything's putting you to sleep today.
Seriously. And who wrote the title? Yoda?
Your man. Your man, I will never let go.
So that's.
Well, you might hate my next one then.
No, he won't hate this.
This is off her first, Belladonna, right?
Belladonna.
And this is a single. I don't know if it ever came out as a single, but
like Wes, I only know the hits.
This is not one of her biggest hits, but I just like it. It's a very country kind of sound, and it often gets overlooked when people ask her stuff. I've never seen her do it live, but it's after the glitter phase.
And by the way, Belladonna translates into my babies.
Well, I never thought I'd make it here in Hollywood. I never thought I'd ever want to stay. What I seem to touch these days has turned to gold. What I seem to want, well, you know I find a way.
I didn't play one of the big. I mean, we could all play Stand Back. Are you going to play Stand Back? Or
no, you know what, though? Christine Blackburn and I just did an all Stevie Nicks episode, and I couldn't remember what I played and didn't play, and I'm too lazy to go back and listen. And
that's part of
out.
The reason why I picked this song. I knew nobody was going to play.
Yeah, mine too.
So I did pick a song that was a hit, but I don't know if it's from The Wild Heart, her second solo album, but I don't know if I played it that day or if Christine did or not, but this is If Anyone Falls.
This is one of those
that went to number 14.
One of those really heavily produced 80s things.
That was that decade, man.
Jimmy Iovine.
I have to say, I did not miss anything not following her solo career,
well,
man.
Well, the biggest hits, Stand Back, was Stand Back number one? Or how many number ones? She did have some number ones.
I remember seeing the video for that song like 50 skidillion times.
Oh, was that the one where she's in the black dress? Spinning?
She's always spinning.
Wait, is there a video where she's not in a black dress spinning?
Yeah, with high boots. Big boots spinning. But are we in agreement Stevie gets in, but maybe just it's maybe too soon for her?
Why does she need to get in again, though? She's already in.
I don't.
There's a lot of people that are in.
Why did the E Street Band get in?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Separate from Bruce.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
They want a star. They need a big name.
Yeah,
they need it's ratings.
Mm-hmm. And are they that great of a band?
E Street Band? Yeah, man.
I mean,
are they?
Yeah. How many people did they back up besides Bruce Springsteen? There was Ronnie Spector, and I can't think of anybody else.
Well, they know their meal ticket. I'm not even a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, but Nils Lofgren is a great guitar player.
Yeah,
sure.
What's his face is a really good drummer.
Max Weinberg.
Yeah,
Max
but if
Weinberg.
The E Street Band had one album on their own,
I don't like Max's drumming that much. Yeah, there's no
like the band. The band backed up Dylan and then went on and became in their own thing.
And even Crazy Horse recorded an album without Neil Young.
Maybe they just don't have the drive.
Max is so meat and potatoes. I mean, if you listen to his drumming, listen to Kenny Aronoff.
Well, Kenny Aronoff is one of the best drummers of our generation.
And Max isn't.
Yeah. All right.
Now, you have two songs from the next band. Are you going to decide on one?
Yeah, I didn't decide. Oh, yeah. All right. So
this is a band I never liked. I'm going right on right on board I couldn't get into them. Even researching this, I couldn't find something to latch on to.
Well, we have an All Radiohead episode in the can, which will be coming up.
Who did you record
make
on
plans
that?
To avoid that?
Yeah, I will be busy. I'll pass that in the Stevie Nicks one.
Yeah, I tried with this band. I really did.
Yeah, you know, Radiohead is really one of those bands that, I mean, either you love it or you hate it, I guess. Although I don't hate them. I don't hate any music anymore. But Radiohead is just a real mystery to me because I don't think I've ever in my life heard a rock band that was trying so hard to not be a rock band.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
No, agreed. I do not like Radiohead, but I love the album The Bends.
Well, and to answer your question, it was part of the listener series, and James Sandlin, it's his favorite band. So,
what are you talking about?
Who I recorded Radiohead
the
with.
All Radiohead episode. Yeah.
All right, sorry.
You said it, and then I just kind of ignored
it. I will listen to that episode just to see if he can talk me into liking that.
I'll give it a shout. But I do. I think The Bends, top to bottom, is a great album, and it's. I'm not going to play anything from The Bends. I'm going to play something from their...
The one album you liked, you're not going to play anything from?
But it's funny, but I also like a song off their first album called Pablo Honey.
Most accessible of all their albums.
Oh, I check Bends better. I got to go listen to the Pablo Honey because I really only like this song from what I know. And this is called Stop Whispering.
Song,
right? See, that I can latch on to better than anything I heard researching this.
You would like the first album then.
Yeah, that's the first album, Pablo Honey. That had Creep on it.
Yeah, that's still the one that they're most known for, the one song.
Yeah. And just so you know, the listener series, when you pay to host or you're in the tier that allows you to host and pick the topic, this is proof. I'll do any topic and I'll take it seriously and I won't shit on your music. Mm-hmm. And I listen to every one of these albums in preparation. I did not enjoy a lot of it, but I did. But I was able to find songs on every album that I did like, and I do respect what they do, even if it's not my cup of tea. Sure. And James said he had a great time, so I guess.
And if you don't want to pay, just pull a Dr. Wes Anthony and tweet at a Pat Francis, so you'll be at his house at 8:15.
He lives in town. What am I going to say? I mean, I walk out, he's on my porch every morning, just on the porch swing. He's like, "We recording today?" I'm like, "Wes, go home."
But every radio album, every Radiohead album, it does. There are like at least one or two songs.
Yeah.
That you can go, oh, okay, well, I can latch on to this. Yeah. In fact, this is an example of one. And it's just, ironically, I just had to look up the title of the album because I couldn't remember it. It's Amnesiac. but the song is called Knives Out. And again, the lyrics, there's nothing going on in Tom York's head that I ever need to hear again. But musically, I really like the sound of this song.
And before I play this, I just want to teach the listeners, don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Just like an Italian. It wouldn't be so bad if...
Like, you could wipe the lyrics and it would be an awesome instrumental in some kind of film noir type movie.
Sure. Yeah.
the
musicians are great in Radiohead.
The best thing that came out of Radiohead, for my money, is Johnny Greenwood.
Sure.
One of their guitarists.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone on to compose music for films. He's done like the last four Paul Thomas Anderson films, and I think his music scores are fantastic. The score for There Will Be Blood is one of the greatest film scores of that decade.
And you reminded me to say who's getting in. It's all original members. They've never changed any. It's like U2. They've never changed a member.
Yeah.
Colin Greenwood, Johnny Greenwood. They might be brothers.
They are.
Ed O'Brien, Philip Selway, and Tom York, who you remember from that Saturday Night Live sketch with the guys who synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
And Tom's not that good of a swimmer.
who did the soundtrack for the Facebook movie?
Oh. That was Trent Reznor and Atticus
yes,
Ross.
Yes, yes, yes. I always get it confused. I always think Greenwood did that.
Yeah, they won an Oscar for that.
Yeah.
I first got heard of Radiohead when I believe they were the first musical guest on Conan, like Conan's first show.
Oh, really?
I tuned in to see this new guy, Conan O'Brien, and our musical guest, Radiohead. I was like, what? for the first guess. Mm-hmm. Who the what? And I think I had heard Creep maybe, but this is the other one that I knew, and this is a hit for them. Is Karma Police.
The Karma Police, they live inside of my head. Is that what it is?
That's it.
Arrest this girl in my head. It's making me feel ill. And we have crashed a party. This is what you get. This is what you get. This is what you get when you mess with us.
You see, OK Computer is that bridge between good rock and then that whiny shit. Right? You can start, because Karma Police is a great tune, but he's just starting to get the way.
Yeah.
And then it's all downhill.
They play this.
But because that album was so successful, then it just accelerated their slide into like art stuff.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
We'll show you how not to be successful.
And they never came back.
Yeah. They got their core group, and it's heavy duty. But
have you ever heard the mashup that they did of Karma Police with A Day in the Life?
No.
Yes.
How is it?
I love it.
I love a good mashup.
Maybe it's one of my favorite Radiohead recordings.
I think that's got to be one of their three that they play. Right, I mean,
they're one of those.
They're exactly the type of band who would turn their back on any.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I saw them at the Bowl, and they didn't play anything off the bench.
Why? Do you like them enough to go see them?
My friend had a free ticket.
Okay,
I'll go see anything.
I won't go see anything for free.
I would see Radiohead for free
at the Hollywood Bowl. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You saw Nugent for free.
I paid.
Well, the money's going to a good cause.
It certainly is.
But I will say, like, I
lost a Patreon supporter because joking about Ted Nugent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Good. Who needs
riddance?
Good riddance. Needs him. Go eat a dead deer and leave us alone. But let me tell you something about Radiohead. Like, Fake Plastic Trees, High and Dry, these acoustic songs off of the Bends are just two of my favorite songs of all time. So it's so weird to have this band that I can't stand. Yeah. I have like this album I absolutely love.
What are you going to play?
I'm going to play this song, Rocks. It's from, it's kind of more of a rocker. It's from the album In Rainbows, and this is called Body Snatchers.
I do not understand what it is. Check for pulse. Blink your eyes. You won't forget. Do you know?
I have no idea what he's saying.
I do like the guitarist on the stuff I heard when I was going through it. But I want to get to Rocky Music and the Zombies, two bands I like.
Well, all these, and again, this, the Radiohead is also in the alternative slot, kind of with The Cure.
Oh, certainly.
I said there are two or three. Who said there are only two?
Well, they go 80s, and then this is their 90s alternative band.
Okay.
So now we got our slots filled.
I put Roxy Music in the 70s alternative.
Yeah. Mostly. Yeah.
Precursor.
Before we move on.
West Problems.
That works for me.
Before we move on real quickly, another song and a new music roundup. This band just released. This is a band that people either like or they don't like. It's Weezer, and they released a covers album. It's called The Teal Album, and this is one of their covers they did.
Oh, man. Zeppelin?
Black Sabbath.
Oh, Sabbath. I'm sorry. Jeez. I'm ashamed.
It's early. It's fine.
Edit that out. Weezer, huh?
Yep.
We only have 15 more minutes, right?
Yeah. They also did this. Imagine me and you. Same album. I think about your day and night. Will the Turtles get in?
They might already be in.
I don't think they are.
And then they bring it home with No Scrubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on this album too.
Yeah.
I will say something about this album. It's a fun listen. it's basically almost note for note remakes. You know, they didn't make it their own other than saying it's us. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. I was pleasantly surprised. And I'm just a casual Weezer fan. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move
Kyle
on.
Kyle probably despises it.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah. Couldn't hate it more. Did you listen to any of it? I didn't. Do you like it? I hate it. Hate every note of it. Murray, you picked two Roxy Music songs. Let's
dare you.
While you decide what you're going to play, I'm going to tell you all the people getting in. Brian Eno.
Yes.
Brian Ferry with a Y.
Yep.
John Gustafson. Eddie Jobs. Eddie Jobson. Andy McKay. Phil Manzanera.
Paisan.
Graham Simpson and Paul Thompson. Eight people strong.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
All right.
Which one are you playing?
Well, this is off Country Life.
Both of them were.
Both of them were. I got 7 years ago, I lived in New York right after Frank was born, and it was my first stint at stay-at-home dad. Mm-hmm. And I had hired somebody who used to co-host the show on a pilot I was writing. And he's like, oh, you got to listen to my podcast called Rock Solid. And so I went to New York. I found Rock Solid, and I just listened to it all day, caught up on all the old things.
I'm sorry.
It was good.
Oh, he's since stopped listening.
So I listened to that when I was at the gym, and then every day I would put Frank in a Bjorn and pick a monument and just walk to it and listen to this Roxy Music album. And I thought, let's go with A Really Good Time.
There's boobs on the album cover.
Yeah. See-through bras.
You've heard enough of the blues and stuff. You're pretty swell now, 'cause you're pretty tough. But I don't have to tell you how hard it can be to get by. You never bothered about anyone else. You're well.
I think I just didn't put in the time code.
Good job.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh,
we got a lot of time.
Started from the beginning.
Sorry, let's play the thrill of it all instead.
Maybe West will play that one. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
No, I won't play that
one. Worry on Roxy Music, West.
This is the leadoff track from Avalon. It was an absolutely gorgeous album. This is probably my favorite Roxy Music song. You know, this album, it was engineered and mixed by Bob Clearmountain. And I read in an interview, this is the album that he gets the most compliments on.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Not Born in the USA?
Because it's got such a great sound. And I think probably because this is probably an album that a lot of couples will listen to.
Sure.
And yeah, the leadoff track, this is such a gorgeous song. The first time I ever heard it was covered by Robert Hitchcock, but this is actually much better. This is more than this.
Oh, one of my favorite songs ever.
It's so great.
This album, top to bottom, is fantastic.
You took it right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right up top. Fading it down.
So good.
Brian Ferry. If they don't play that song, I'm going to be furious.
Brian Ferry's touring doing this album top to bottom this year.
Really?
Yes.
Is his voice still good?
Yeah, from what I've heard.
He's in his
70s. If I have to sell a kidney, I'm going to that.
Let's keep it moving. We got 6 minutes. Pilar's guests have already started to file in for the next show.
Well, if I didn't
already unsubscribe.
Thank you for bringing that up, because this is one of my other favorites. So this is Out of the Blue.
From Country Life.
Mm-hmm. Country Life's a good album. Your eyes are down through the haze of
broken and blue. Wow, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. I gotta buy this album today. I'm gonna look for it when we go to Free Beat.
Also, amazing guitar work.
Absolutely.
The more I listened, I didn't notice it before. I was like, wow, this guy's wailing every time. And they burned through a few guitarists.
How many albums did they have? Because I have a feeling in a week and a half, I'm going to own all these albums.
The first one was like 72 or
really
three.
Early.
Yeah.
It was older than I thought.
It was like 1972, right around there.
I took one from 1975 from the Siren album. This is Love is the Drug.
Oh, classic.
Yes.
Used to be my karaoke go-to.
Tain't no big thing to wear for the bad jewelry. Tain't no big thing the toll of the bell. Acrobated, spare the days. I troll down.
This sounds a little like Talking Heads.
A little bit, now that you mention it, yeah.
How about that?
Or
look at that, here's the music podcast.
Or they sounded like Roxy Music.
Yeah.
Well, Brian Eno did produce like three of their most pivotal albums. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that there was
again,
influence there.
The knowledge.
Coming in here with your facts.
It's annoying.
Roxy Music, the first album came out in 72.
72. Yeah.
There
wow.
you go. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They have 8 albums.
Okay.
And Brian Ferry has a great solo career also.
Now that's another thing. Okay, so should Brian Ferry get in the Hall of Fame as a solo artist?
You know where I stand on the solo
no.
artist stuff.
No.
Stevie Nicks, I don't want in. I don't want Brian Ferry in.
Okay.
I got to be fair.
Yeah, I
gotta be fair.
I get it.
I co-host a music podcast once every 2 years.
That's true. All right, we're moving on to the Zombies. This is exciting for me because I sat down with the Zombies right here at this very table. And it was way more exciting than the show we're doing today.
You sat down with both of the Zombies at this table. The one zombie sat at the couch and recorded.
Yeah. Rod Argent was in the next room.
He was right here. And
as far away from the microphone
I
as
know.
He could.
You think a guy that makes his living talking into a microphone.
A professional singer would know how to do a microphone.
Get right up on it. And it was so funny. The logo was up there with my name. And every time I would ask him something, he would look at the thing and say, and then he would look at me and call me Pat. He would just be like, well, it's funny that you should mention that.
Pat Francis.
with Pat Francis.
How many Hall of Fame inductees have I talked to in person? Sammy Hagar, Nancy Wilson from Heart, and the Zombies. Three of the Zombies.
Well done.
Three of the five original members.
That's cool.
All right.
Who's getting in there?
Oh, everyone. All the original members are getting in. Rod Argent, Paul Atkinson, who is Rock and Peace, Colin Blundstone, Hugh Grundy, and Chris White.
Awesome.
So, what do we got?
Think Rod Argent should get in on a solo?
No. Guy doesn't know how to use a microphone.
he give a speech from the locker room. Yeah.
The song I picked, I'll use that for our playout song because I didn't pick a playout song. Okay. So.
I guess somebody brought the other song because it was literally one of my favorite songs. So when you guys play it, I'll tell you what it is. But I picked off of, obviously, Odyssey and Oracle. I think this is the opening track.
Mm-hmm.
Care of Cell 44.
Yeah.
Great bass.
Yeah.
Counting the days until they set you free again. Writing this letter, hoping you're okay. Send you the room you used to stay.
That's fantastic. It sounds so good in headphones, too.
This is one of those songs where I'm just enjoying. I always enjoyed it, but I never really listened to the lyrics. And then driving my oldest daughter to high school last year, she goes, song's about a guy in prison. I go, you're crazy. It's not. She's like, yeah, Care of Cell 44. I go, what are you talking about? And then you listen to it and you go, oh yeah.
It's obviously that.
Then you realize the title says Care of Cell 44.
And then I realized that, I raised smart kids.
I saw them do this album top to bottom about 10 years ago.
Oh,
and it was great.
Yeah,
it was
Mike and
I just saw them last year
the 50th anniversary.
I think so.
Right.
And then we got to go. We got to meet them.
We got to meet them, and then they came in here.
That was so good.
Who opened that show?
No one.
Nobody.
No
Ian one Hunter opened the show. I saw.
Oh, really?
It was fantastic, man. Just still that big hair.
Did they follow him? Were they able to follow?
Oh yeah, totally. Right, cool. Yeah, but he was just jumping all over the stage with those like snakeskin pointy shoes and jumping around in a vest.
Okay, Wes, who did you pick?
Well,
Wes' song is in mono.
Okay.
Hey, I have mono version.
That's how it was recorded.
Version,
I like the mono.
Yeah. And this one is, I wanted to pick a song that would highlight Rod Argent's songwriting, because I think it's really essential to what makes the Zombies so great. Is he's got that jazz-oriented sound that really set them apart from a lot of the other British Invasion bands. There was a whole story about how he sold off some of his Elvis Presley singles to buy a Miles Davis album. That's the kind of stuff that he's into. And so yeah, both of the songs that I picked really, I think, show off that vibe. But this one is one of my favorites, called Whenever You're Ready.
I still love you. I've been hurt like this before, yeah.
You're not teaching me a new thing. Try to realize and call me when you're ready. Whenever you're ready.
I know you. Good pick.
That's, I love so the good. Harmony when on deep. The chorus. It's so cool.
Yeah. And then you move on and write a shit storm show like God Gave Rock and Roll to You. How does that happen? I don't understand. It's so bad Kiss
drugs.
Covered it.
Lots and lots of drugs.
Yeah. Mike, you picked a great one too.
I mean, this is off Odyssey and Oracle.
If you don't own Odyssey and Oracle, get it, because I didn't find it for 50 years. And it's one of my favorite albums of all time.
A lot of people herald that as one of right up there with Sgt. Pepper's and Pet Sounds.
I probably picked this one because it's very Beatlesque.
And this was used in an episode of Mad Men. And that's
was it?
People were like, "Whoa, what's that song?" And I think a lot of people found the Zombies because of Mad Men.
Yeah, this is This Will Be Our Year.
That's my favorite song. That's the one I really wanted to play.
Shut up.
Eat it.
And this will be our year. Took a long time to come. Don't let go of my hand now. The darkness has gone. This will be our year. Took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you helped me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you. You gave me faith to go.
I love it. Was that like a cornet trumpet? What do they call them?
A piccolo trumpet.
That was just me. The reason I'm excited that the Zombies are getting in is because they really want to get in. They're excited about it. They were tweeting all the time, please vote for us. They're still alive. And I feel that
and
when
they still sound great.
And they still sound great. And when these guys get older, give them the nod. Don't wait. They're going to die. Yes, got in after the one guy who was on every album, Chris Squire, had passed.
And the bassist and the Zombies died, months after we saw him?
Well, he wasn't the original bassist, though.
He might have gone up there with him.
He might have, yeah.
He definitely would have played.
Yeah, he definitely would have played.
Yeah, it's kind of a
So, day. You know, don't wait, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Don't be dicks.
They're going in next month.
People know him from their big hit, Time of the Season. Is that what you're going to play us out with?
No. I'm going to play the play out I picked is I Want You Back Again.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. So we didn't pick, no one picked or.
So people don't know who, like their big hit. They would know that.
She's Not There.
And She's
the
Not
one?
There in Time of the Season.
Yeah.
Which are two
great
of
great songs.
They'll probably play.
Really used well in that Friends episode.
Was it in a Friends episode?
It was in a Friends episode where Chandler and Jennifer Aniston.
I watch Friends like a maniac, like every Thursday, must see TV. Now, if an episode of Friends comes on, I go, I don't remember this episode. I don't remember this episode at all.
It's because you're 55.
Seinfeld comes on, I don't think it aged well.
I don't think it.
Friends. There's a guest star on every episode too. Oh, look, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Oh, look, Billy Crystal.
Danny DeVito's here.
Every episode of some. Why am I talking like Penny Marshall?
I like the progression of Matt Perry's drug use.
Yeah,
I love when Matt Perry's on back pills because he's so thin. He looks amazing.
He's gaunt.
He looks
fantastic.
Great. Fantastic. And the camera adds 10 pounds, so he must weigh 72 pounds in those episodes. Murray, where are you on Twitter?
I'm at Murray V on Twitter, Murray V Comedy on Instagram, and Murray Blair on Facebook.
You host
the Road Stories podcast, part of all things comedy.
West, where can we find you on Twitter?
Dr. West Anthony, you can find me on Twitter. And then there's still plenty of episodes of my podcast, Musical Notation, available on iTunes. And you can go to westanthony.com and find them.
And you're going to do possibly more someday?
I hope to. We'll see how my whole health thing goes.
Way to bring us down.
Seriously. Yes.
Sorry.
And could you get your oxygen?
These are the worst plugs. You gave a plug that Murray didn't want. You got Wes depressing the hell out of us. These are the worst plugs.
When I've my ever cholesterol goes down, I'll probably start doing more.
So, Mike, you want to tell us when your show got canceled?
Oh, my gosh. Are you done, West?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, you know what? Actually, I'll say, since we're talking about the zombies and my podcast, I did do a whole episode on the zombies' involvement in the 1965 film called Bunny Lake is Missing. It's episode number 118. And
you can listen to that.
Crap. Bunny Lake is Missing. I haven't heard that.
The zombies
title.
Got billing in that movie, and they just, you don't actually, they're on a TV in a scene in a pub. But they got billing in that film.
Name the title again.
Bunny Lake is Missing. It's an Otto Preminger film from 1965.
Is it a good movie? Be honest.
It is a good movie.
Scale of 1 to 10.
7.
10 being the worst.
What? How dare you?
All right, Mike, what do you got for us?
Travel Tales Pod on Travel Tales Pod on Twitter, Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram, Funny Mike on Twitter, and TravelTalesPodcast.com.
If you're age 75 and older, look for Mike on the boats.
And also look for my dry bar comedy special.
Yeah, when's that? You're going to tweet
about
that?
Yeah, incessantly. But it'll be out this spring.
Produced by Robert Smith.
Yeah.
Is there a chance you'll be edited out of that?
There's always a chance. Always a chance.
It's a Mormon back company. Yeah. That was a callback to the Joseph Smith joke from an hour and a half ago.
All right.
Don't even remember. That didn't work then.
Don't even remember.
We are at Rock Solid Show. I'm at Pat_Francis. Kyle is at Kyle Dotson Funny. Go to the Patreon page and support us. And just keep following and liking and doing all those good things. And thanks for listening. And I will play us out with the zombies. I want you back again on Rock Solid. Thank you, Murray. Thank you, West. And thank you, Siegs.
Thank you.
Thank you, with Pat Francis.
Somebody help me. I gotta eat. Somebody help me to stand on my feet. I want you back again. You have left me, I'm all alone. I need your help, I can't stand on my own.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.